everybody. Welcome to episode 58 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. I am, as per usual, your host, Chris Lipscomb. Sadly, to disappoint Peter, my middle name is not Horace.
It should be.
I know, you desperately wanted it to be Horace, but it's just not. As you can probably hear there, we're joined this week by...
Is it Archibald?
It's also not Archibald. By Editor-in-Chief of the SixAxis.com and Managing Director of Oscar Mike Media, Peter Chapman. Say hello, Peter.
Hello.
We also joined this week by Editor-in-Chief over at ScreenDemon.com, Lewis Gaston. Say hello, Lewis.
Agbonlahor.
And we're also joined by a man who spent a good while trying to get his soundboard to work, Kev Adsett. Say hello, Kev.
My life is one long and miserable failure. I mean, hi.
Hi. So that's all of that. Now, for the news.
Hello and welcome to the news at... with me, Moira Stewart. Co-founder of that game company, Kelly Santiago, has left the company as they begin work on their unannounced next game. Santiago has said that she feels it's time to hit the Start New Journey button. Game Group PLC goes into administration, with many stores closing and many staff losing their jobs. Sorry, this just coming in, it looks like there might be a late bid to take the company back out of administration from Royal Bank of Scotland, or GameStop, or Rob Capita. Oh, we don't know. They're in and out of administration more often than Portsmouth Football Club. EA has announced that FIFA Euro 2012 will be available as a downloadable expansion for its FIFA 12 game, rather than a separate, standalone title. It won't be available on disc, but retailers will sell codes from shops, if there are any of those left in April, when the game launches. Will Ferrell has announced that an Anchorman sequel to legions of... I'll repeat that. Will Ferrell has announced an Anchorman sequel to legions of fans who have been clamoring for one since the credits rolled on Ron Burgundy in 2004. We've heard rumours that instead of writing a new script, producers are just going to pick lines from the old new skyscraper... Producers are just going to pick lines from old Sky News transcripts and have actors read those. And now to Lewis Gaston for the weather. Lewis.
It's fucking hot!
Thanks, Lewis.
And there you have the news.
That was the funniest thing we've ever done.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to have to put bongs in that. Like the pop yeah. bongs. Bong. Maybe it'll just be me saying bong.
Bong. That would be funny too. Just in a really, like, not even putting any spirit into it.
Yeah,
just going,
Chris and Peter
bong.
Should have done the bongs.
Bong. Whatever.
It's our first time, you know. We'll see how it goes from there. You know. See what the crowd reaction is. Other than sort of buttock-clenching cringeworthiness.
Bewilderment.
The yeah. crowd asked for this.
Well, Tough Cub asked for it.
He's a crowd Does by he himself.
Well, he makes about three-quarters of our listeners, I think.
Yeah, what? <fair enough. laughs> That math makes no sense.
I'm judging by body mass.
Oh, okay. That's reasonable. Do you want to go back and look at those news stories then?
Yeah, I guess so.
Not really much we can say about that game company one. Just good luck and all that.
Oh, good luck and God bless. Sony really should have nailed that studio down, though, shouldn't they?
Yeah, free game contract. Like, at the end of that, should have gone, here is all of the money.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
you've done our best three games on the platform. So, do what you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's an office. Here's shed loads of cash. We'll see you in 2 years. And then just leave them to it.
Yeah, exactly.
But it'd be interesting to see what they do next.
Probably something else with that will make them shed loads of money.
I'm going for a Nazi RPS.
Yeah.
Wait, a Nazi
this
RPS?
This is Paper Stone Simulation.
I'm trying to work out what RPS is.
What is RPS?
That's a genre you've made up.
No, it's a real person shooter.
I see.
Unless it's unless
as in you play Hitler, yeah. Who's a real person.
Or no, it's a real person shooter. It's not a game. You just go out and
shoot Nazis. Or sure. Or it's a Nazi themed rock paper shotgun game.
Rock paper scissors.
Also that.
What's rock paper shotgun? Prefer, I think you've got Monopoly there. Yeah. Okay, rock paper shotgun.
Rock paper shotgun's a PC game blog.
Yeah.
On that internet.
Although, of course, in England it would be called scissors paper shotgun.
Yeah, no, they are English.
Well, they're doing it wrong then. They're pandering to an American audience and they ought to be ashamed of themselves.
I say rock paper scissors.
Yeah, but yeah, you use American dialect in everything you do, Chris. It's scissors, paper, stone, and everyone knows.
I've never heard of anyone call it scissors, paper, stone.
Well, maybe you're not middle class enough.
Scissors, paper... Yes, it was scissors, paper, stone when I grew up.
Yeah, me too.
Rock, paper, I wouldn't say that I was middle class, though, but my mum always had pretensions.
Or it's...
You bought a cafetiere, hoping that one day you'd know how to use it.
I might start just calling it Rochambeau.
Okay.
There you are. Fucked you up.
What's... Why Rochambeau?
It's like the... I can't remember what country it's... It's somewhere in Asia. It's their version of it. And instead of saying rock, paper, scissors, or scissors, paper, stone, you say Rochambeau. Then you...
Yeah, I got that bit.
Sounds like a Skyrim spell.
Yeah.
Or just shout, whatever they were. Shouts, weren't they, in Skyrim?
Nosferatu.
What was the next bit? Game is in admin, which is very sad. Lots of people lost their jobs, including my little brother, which is quite sad.
But predictably, the Irish aren't taking it sitting down. The Irish staff are having a sitting. They've occupied game.
Sure, that means they are taking it sitting down.
Well, you know, because they're not very good at sitting, so they're all standing up.
Oh, dear. But
they're having a standing.
They've occupied game. I think that's a bit pointless, seeing as they're going to close the store.
Yeah, no, but they're not getting...
They're just going to be locked in.
They're protesting about not getting redundancy pay, so they've basically just all set up camp in the shop.
Yeah. Mm. They basically went, we'll pay you to the end of March and fuck off.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, all right then.
Well, technically, they're squatters and there are no laws against squatters at the moment.
Are they not? Well, I don't know. No. I don't know.
Are they in Northern Ireland or Southern Ireland, though?
No, Southern Ireland, over the border, Mexico.
Yeah, so there's... who knows what the law is there? Is there even law there?
I don't know. I think they've only got two or three.
Just don't be a dick. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. The laws down there are... Ah, go on.
As Dara O'Brien says... they have three levels in the South, which are, that's grand, watch it, now you're taking the piss.
Yeah, pretty much. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you need.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Anchorman 2!
Yay!
Yay!
Yeah. Yay!
I feel we skipped over the game stuff quite quickly there, onto Anchorman 2.
It's not really much more you can say about game, is that we've covered that like 3 weeks in a row now. It's getting like, it's very sad that all those people will be out of work and those shops are closing, and I don't know, they might come out of administration, somebody might buy them, but it's, I don't know, I'm bored of it now.
Yeah.
Want something different. Somebody do something exciting.
Yeah.
I think if the staff that are protesting in the Irish game, if that all turns a bit sour and they have like a riot in the shop or something, then it'll be interesting again.
Yeah.
I might write to them.
But as I found out talking to my brother and my dad, apparently they, because my dad went in because my brother texted him saying, oh, this might be the last day if you've got any GameStation credit left, come in and spend it.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad did, and he got like Formula 1 2009 for the Wii. Because he was like, oh, it's a racing game. I was like, you got like a 2-year-old racing game. He was like, yeah, but it was £2. So he got that.
Fair
which play. He seemed weirdly really happy about. But yeah, so he went in about lunchtime. It was about 12:30, I think. And they were all sort of going, well, we don't really know yet, but no one's quite sure. And then at 2 p.m. they shut the store.
Yeah, the board didn't handle it very well at all. I think, I don't know, the CEO was talking about the media not representing things very well, but I think, I don't know, I think he was a bit of a dick over the whole thing. They kind of kept the staff in the dark a lot, and it was, nobody really knew what was going on, and it's hard enough time when you've got redundancy hanging over you. You know, people just like to be kept informed.
The other one that was a bit weird was, I think it was Ben Parfitt from MTV, was on the phone to someone at a game store. And they got a call literally while he was on the phone that said, yeah, shut the shop. So, yeah. It doesn't look like they dealt with it too well.
No. At any stage in the whole proceedings, it's... No. I don't know.
No. I've got like a little bit of sympathy for him because for the CEO, dude, Ian Shepherd, his comments about the press The board should have communicated better, certainly. But I wonder if the press were also kind of making it hard for them and that kind of thing.
I'm sure that in that situation, the press speculation and the reporting of rumours and things that the press does, which, I mean, that's the job of the press.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
But I'm sure it doesn't make it easy for the people on the board that are trying to hammer out some sort of deal with people.
No, exactly. And I also, to a little bit, I think he certainly should have told the... he should have at least informed Game Stores on Friday when they filed notice of intent to go into administration that, hey, look, you might be going into administration, like, after the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, get ready. But, I also kind of feel that he couldn't go and tell them too early, because from what we understand, it looked like a saviour was on the table almost until the last minute. So,
yeah, well, that's the other side of this story, is that Op Capita were trying to put a bid in, and they were trying to get credit from the Royal Bank of Scotland to put that bid in, and the Royal Bank of Scotland refused them that credit.
Yeah.
And now Game has gone into administration, yeah, and it looks like RBS are going to use that money that they were going to back Op Capita with and put their own bid in.
Yeah, which is... it's hard to say, because you don't know what the deals of Op Capita's bid were, etc. But at best, it seems suspicious.
Yeah, it looks a little bit odd.
At best, it seems like something you'd present to the... like, I wouldn't be surprised if Op Capita put this to the Competition Commission. I just went, yeah, seriously, what? at least RBS could have at least been a little bit cunning. Could, like, bought it for a subsidiary or something, which, like, nah, fuck it, just buy it.
Right. And also, I'm not being funny, right, but RBS buying a failing games retailer when they still owe me £70 billion.
I'm not sure they owe it to you personally.
Oh, no, I think of that as a personal debt.
Fair enough.
One day I will call to collect.
I also wonder what RBS are going to do with him.
They're going to open up banks.
Are they collecting high street shops now, or?
Yeah, it's gonna be like you walk in and they'll sell you a mortgage, and then with your mortgage money, they'll sell you like a PlayStation 3. But we can add an extra £300 onto your mortgage deal if you'll spend it in store today on pre-owned merchandise. That would be funny.
I suppose Game might offer better financing after that, though.
Yeah. Or they'll just offer you one of those really extortionate warranty deals on your new house.
They'll start doing pre-owned houses.
Oh. Yeah.
Pretty sure that applies to all houses other than brand new builds.
Yeah, but then now they can market it properly.
It's just as good as a new build, but it'll be a nightmare getting the stickers off the windows.
Yeah. If you want to use the second floor, you need to buy a code.
Yep. Loft conversion sold separately.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you,
and then
if
an
you
extension
bought the house
is the DLC.
New, but, yeah. All right.
Do you want to talk about Anchorman? I don't really.
They're making
like
a new Anchorman.
Much.
I do have to Yay. Say, the announcement was quite funny.
I only saw it on Twitter from Adam McKay.
Oh, you need to go watch the Will.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Will Ferrell came on to the Conan O'Brien show as Ron Burgundy.
Oh, what?
Came on playing the flute, jammed on the flute with the band for like 5 minutes, and they went, by the way, we're making Anchorman 2. All right, I'm out. And just kind of left.
Oh, definitely
got to see that. He said, what was he saying to Conan O'Brien?
Of Columbus, that earth!
He said to Conan O'Brien.
That's baby making music. That's what that is.
Conan O'Brien, he said.
So damn hot. Milk was a bad choice.
Oh, brilliant.
He said to Conan O'Brien.
It is a good film.
He looked at him and he went, Conan, you're fantastic. You come out night after night. Just one thing. One tiny comment, and I only pick up on this because I'm a professional. You look terrible. And said he looked like someone had put
studies, you know. 60% of the time, it works every time.
That doesn't make sense.
I'm not going to lie to you, Brian. That smells like pure gasoline.
But he
smells like Bigfoot's dick.
He said that Conan O'Brien looked like someone had put a ginger fright wig on a skeleton.
Yeah. See, I'm sure Peter's now remembering all the reasons he didn't like Anchorman was because people just quoted it and played things from it all the time.
I don't know. I kind of think that I maybe just didn't get it. Because everybody else seems to think it's brilliant, and I just thought, yeah, there was like two or three bits in it that made me laugh, and the rest of it was all just a little bit uncomfortable.
I had that experience with the Breaking Bad pilot last night.
You should tweet CC Star, Chris, and tell him that you love Anchorman, but you watched Breaking Bad and it was shit.
It wasn't shit. Honestly, it wasn't shit. It was just...
No, just tell him that. Just his reaction will be nuclear. It will be phenomenal to see.
No, I thought it was okay, but it just wasn't great, you know? It was alright, but... Apparently it gets better after the pilot. I always feel it's
It doesn't get better, he's got cancer.
It's true. But it's harsh. It's hard to rate shows on a pilot sometimes.
Unless it was a flying program. But
Was there another thing after Anchorman? Or was it...
No, I think it was the weather.
Was it just Lewis telling us it's hot? It's quite
it
hot.
No, that was it.
Fucking hot down Portsmouth.
It's been hot here today, yeah. Big P, you're launching the next Axis, like...
Imminently.
Like, possibly during this podcast. It could happen now.
Do you think? Will I check? I've been checking the Apple developer thing.
Yeah.
Like, every half an hour since I submitted it. Yes, the next Axis app is in with Apple for submission.
When did you put it in?
Monday night.
It'd be... tomorrow at the very earliest.
Well, they reckon at the minute because they give you the stats on the website, it says like 92% of apps are cleared within 5 business days. So yeah. I'm expecting it like Monday.
Yeah, it's normally we find it's about a week in general. Yeah. But then app updates only take like 2 days to go through.
There shouldn't be that many app updates. It's all done with like in-app stuff.
Oh yeah, no, that's just like... That's just what we find at work, is it takes that long, roughly.
So I'm incredibly excited about this, and also shitting myself that it's going to go up on the App Store and nobody's going to care.
It'd be great.
So yeah, that's when that clears.
You have got one of the UK's largest independent gaming websites behind you. So, you know.
Yeah, we haven't really used TSA yet to get the word out. I was waiting until closer to the time.
Isn't it the largest European independent gaming website?
Well, I mean, I don't know the official statistics, so I wouldn't like to say.
Probably.
I have to say I'm not going to care, but I don't have an iPad, so...
you should probably care anyway, just because it's, you know, a friend's venture.
No.
But when the app is finally cleared and lands on the App Store, that will have a teaser issue for the first issue of the magazine, which has just a couple of the things that I wrote in it. And then the full first issue will be along fairly soon after that. And that has, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 sort of long form articles in it.
And is it good?
Lots of interactive stuff and bells and whistles, and it's really, yeah, it is really cool. It's amazing to see it actually working on an iPad.
How much is it?
I'm not sure yet. I'm trying to keep the price as low as possible, but with the cut that Apple takes and then the price of the stuff from Adobe, it's looking likely to be probably the £1.49 tier.
But for a magazine, I mean, a magazine's going to cost you $5.99 in WHM.
Well, this is it, and the digital magazines from like the big publishers are still like the cheapest of them is still like £3.
Yeah, and they're just often just PDFs that have been exported to.
Yeah, so hopefully people think that it's worth the money that you have to pay for it.
We'll see, Chapman. We'll see. I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, so
we could do a feature each week whereby we just flip through the current Next Access magazine and just judge it.
Oh God, no!
I don't know how you'd feel about that. But
there's actually in the magazine there is a live feedback form that you can fill in and hit send, and it'll email me.
That's really good.
So I'm expecting to get lots of email from lots of people going, "This is shit, isn't it?"
Oh, I could have done this a bit better. Why isn't this a bit better?
Yeah.
And that would just be me. Yeah.
But yeah, I hope people like it. We'll see. It's at the point where I'm kind of nervous about it, but it just has to get out there now, and I think that it's pretty cool, and hopefully other people enjoy it too.
Mm. Yes.
Hurrah!
Yeah!
Hopefully they will.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed. It's so hard to get seen on the App Store, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the biggest.
There's so much other stuff about.
But, yes, indeed. Yeah,
we'll just all have to go into hyper-promote mode.
Yeah, just if I can get it out and get some people talking about it, then...
In fact, I think we've got a question nice. About that very issue later on.
Ooh.
An issue about the issue?
Well, no, about app stores and their crowdedness.
Okay.
That's a little teaser for people to keep listening.
Yeah, just, you know, coming up. Hey, that's a feature we should do.
Yeah.
Like, once we've edited it, like, say, hey, you'll have some of this, and also some of this.
I think when I host it, I always start off with coming up in this episode.
And that's because you're ever the consummate professional, unlike Lipscomb over there. Doesn't know what he's doing half the time.
I don't even know where I am half the time, so...
You only know that you're in your room because you're doing a podcast.
So, I guess it's a microphone.
Because they're
here.
A comic.
I must be in my room because I'm doing the podcast.
Yeah.
I think you need a little help, to be honest.
I always need help.
Shall we move on? That's enough shameless promotion.
I gave it to you so easily. I said, I think you need a little help, to be honest. And then all I got was sort of tired sighs. Lewis,
talking,
you watched The Help.
Of Help. Lewis watched The Help.
On a plate, I
did.
How was it? It's about black people.
Wow. Wowee. Probably edit that bit out, to be honest.
It's about black people.
Well,
it's not purely about black people.
Yeah, I think it's... Yeah.
It's, Well, yeah, no, technically, it's about black people in the 60s in Jacksonville, Mississippi, and the majority of the... Well, no, pretty much all of the black women were housemaids to the affluent white people. And it's just basically about their story. And a young white girl who wants to be a journalist decides to write a book about their stories and to show the like inequalities and the just basically humiliation that they go through on a daily basis. And it is very good. It's quite difficult, not difficult to watch, but it's difficult to hear some of the things that are said because it's not shy of obviously confronting the racism. So it is quite difficult to watch in terms of some of the stuff you hear, just because it's not natural. It's not natural for us to be in an environment where people are just that blatantly racist in front of the help as well.
I don't know. You should come to Belfast.
It's difficult to watch from that point of view. Bryce Dallas Howard, who's in it, she plays like the uber bitch of the neighborhood, is complete and utter. Well, she's just that. She is just a bitch, which is quite weird because she's never done a role like that I've seen before. It's always been flaky ginger ladies or that vampire woman in Twilight. It's very good. That's pretty much all I can say about it, really. Because it's a drama, so you need to go through their stories.
Is it an uplifting drama?
It is quite uplifting, and it is quite funny as well. It's not as dramatic as I thought it would be, because of all the Oscar buzz and that, obviously because the supporting actress won BAFTA and Oscar and all that lot. I thought it was going to have like loads of dramatic moments, you know, where people just shout at each other with pure emotion, but there's hardly any of that. There's a couple of bits where people just sort of really lay their heart on the line and like get the emotion out there. But for the most part, it's done really almost in a light-hearted way, which sounds wrong because it shouldn't be. But because obviously back then that was just the norm. So it's done as if there's nothing wrong with it. If you see what I mean, you get my gist.
I often find films that are set in that sort of environment very unsettling to watch.
Yeah, it is, like I say, it's unsettling to watch because of the language that you hear and the things said and done to these people, like I say, in front of them. I just sat there thinking, no, you can't, surely this didn't happen, but obviously it did, and just whether you like it or not, but yeah, it's unsettling from that point of view. But overall, it is uplifting, and like I say, it does have quite a lot of funny moments as well.
Was it?
It's not the one where Martin Lawrence has to dress up as a woman, is it? Am I mixing that with something else? Big Mama's house.
That's Big Mama's help.
Sure. Sure thing.
Did you feel it was a touching film?
No, like I say, not as much as I thought it would be. I thought it was going to be like real...
He missed it as well, Chris. I'm sorry.
Talking of touching, Kev, you've been watching Touch.
Yes, I have been watching Touch. And no, that's not one of those adult films. Yeah, it's Jack Bauer's new series that he's done.
Bit on the nose for an adult film, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. It's not one.
Oh, yeah,
kind
like
of
that.
Fetishistic Everyone adult film you before. Watch. On the nose.
On the nose, that's what it's called. So, yeah, Touch
Isn't Jack Bauer from 24?
Yeah. And he's in this as well.
I'm pretty sure you mean Kiefer Sutherland.
No, it's Jack Bauer's new thing.
Oh, fair enough.
For me, it's impossible to see him as anyone but Jack Bauer. I think he even said damn it maybe one time in the two episodes I've seen.
Did he ring anyone on a mobile?
Blip. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, this is that's kind of superfluous fluff on the outside of this. No, obviously it's Kiefer Sutherland. He plays the father of his son. Which, you know, most fathers would. His son is the kind of the central point of the drama. He's kind of a severely autistically diagnosed kid. He's never spoken in his whole life. He's 11 years old.
What, you mean he's been diagnosed by a severely autistic doctor?
Yes. No, I realised that I'd said that. Well, no, because I was going to say he's a severely autistic kid, but like that's only how the outside world see him because they don't actually know what's going on. He's never spoken. In the 11 years that he's been alive, but he just sees patterns and probabilities in everything. Like he sees everything as numbers. And so he can see how events are connected and what cause and effect is like, and he can just see the past, present and future all sort of connected as this big kind of stream, which is sort of weird. But it means that he's just concentrating on that stuff the whole time. Like he's got a little notepad and he's just always writing numbers in it. And he's never spoken. And yeah, the series kind of starts off, you don't really know what to expect when you start off. We're only two episodes in currently, although by the time, no, it'll still only be two episodes. Tuesday nights if you're interested on Sky One.
Don't all have Sky.
So, oh well, you know, I don't know what to say to you. Get
you
it
poor person.
There's lots of good quality programming on Sky One.
At present I don't have TV at all because I need to plug the thing into the Digibox. I hope it works.
You still... Oh, of course you still have a Digibox. You have a SCTV. I was going to say, don't all TVs come with Freeview now, but that implies you've bought a TV in the last 10 years.
We still have an internal aerial. It's not even on the roof, just sits on the telly.
Just like
are you in? Are you in Men Behaving Badly?
It's in 1983.
Yeah.
You poor soul.
Anyway, Touch follows the lives of a bunch of different people who at the start of an episode are completely unrelated and you don't know how they're going to sort of tie in. And basically through the actions of this kid and Kiefer Sutherland's character sort of trying to understand him, these characters all end up colliding. And you kind of, it's weird because it's quite kind of, well, that wouldn't happen. Like it's quite difficult to suspend disbelief and just go, there's no way that would happen. But then I'm trying to kind of watch it with a view that this kid knows how everything can pan out, so he kind of guides it so that it does happen almost. But there are some things which are like, you just can't, I can't bring myself to think that that would actually just ever happen. I don't know. I'll keep watching it. I've only watched two episodes, so I don't want to be too quick to judge, but it's good. Like the production value is really good and I quite like the way it's shot. There's some nice graphics about interconnectivity going on in the title sequence, which is pretty cool. And yeah, so if you haven't caught it, you can currently catch it on Sky anytime if you're a Virgin Media subscriber, or in fact a Sky subscriber. But
do you not think the kid looks like the kid from Jumanji?
I thought that the kid looks a bit like the kid from Outnumbered.
See, every time I see the advert for it, I just think, oh, he hasn't grown up at all.
Yeah,
he's
I don't know.
Young in Jumanji.
I can't imagine it's the same kid. But you know, you never know.
No, maybe that kid's probably 30 by now.
Yeah, that is true. It's created by Tim Kring, who you might recognise as the name behind Heroes, I believe.
Yeah.
Which you know, is promising or not promising, depending on your outlook on Heroes, I suppose. I guess if it's anything to go by, the first series will be good, and then they'll sort of completely lose their way for the next four series before it's cancelled. But hopefully there's not a writer's strike in between when they're actually making this one, so that would be nice. David Mazouz is the kid in this, not in Jumanji. I don't think he's going
to be. My friend only just realised the other day that his name is Kiefer Sutherland. He thought his name was Keith O. Sutherland.
Nice. Like a jolly yeah. Irishman.
He's like, oh, Keith. What?
Hey, do you name Keith O. Sutherland? yeah. So, watch is good, and I would recommend that you do.
I will.
I mean, touch.
I was going to say, have you just forgotten grammar in that sentence?
Yeah, no, touch. I forgot that it was called touch and not watch. Because I thought I was being clever with words, and then I remembered that it's not called watch, it's called touch. Mm. So touch is good, and I recommend that you do. Doesn't really work quite as well.
just stroke the screen while it's on.
Mm. No, give it a go, you know. Can't hurt, can it? See what it's about.
It can hurt.
You
could turn the TV on, and the TV could fall on you.
Sure. But if you were Jake off of touch, you'd already know that was what would happen.
Also, I suppose, it in the numbers. Those of you with your fancy pants, flat screens, you probably wouldn't hurt that much if it fell on you.
Yeah, whereas your 52-inch CRT, which is as wide backwards as it is sort of screen-wise, probably crush a man.
Yeah, that's why I keep it. It's a weapon.
It's a weapon that you can't lift because it weighs a metric ton.
Yeah, if anybody attacks, you just have to hope that they happen to be nearby and they happen to knock it.
Peter, you've been playing Triple Town on your iPad thing.
I have. I've been playing Triple Town on my iPad thing.
What's it about? It's about three towns.
No, it's
Well, count me out.
It's about three things.
Chris likes his entertainment to be obvious.
Is essentially...
Spider-Man, about a man who was bitten by a spider. Done!
Unless it's literal, Chris isn't interested.
It is essentially a match three puzzle game. Kind of like Bejeweled, where you have to match three things and then they disappear. But you match three... In this instance, it's set in like a village. And you get like... The thing that you get most of is grass. And when you match three things of grass all joined to each other, then they turn into a bush. And if you match three bushes all next to each other, then they turn into a tree.
That's quite nice.
And if you match all three trees, then they turn into like a little hut. And the little huts, when they're matched, turn into houses, and the houses turn, and the things get bigger and bigger. And then you have bears that come and attack. The bears don't actually seem to hurt anything. They just take up squares and they move around. And if you trap the bears so that they can't move anywhere, then they turn into headstones. So you kill the bears. And so then, and if you can get three headstones together, then they turn into like a church. And it gets bigger that way, and it sets like point goals, and it's really odd because it doesn't actually do much. And now this is kind of the first time that I've thought about it with any sort of seriousness, and I'm just thinking to myself, what a fucking idiot I am playing this game for hours on end because it doesn't actually do anything. But it is strangely compelling. So you find yourself, you get like a little square, like a grid, and you're kind of building these. You're building houses out of grass and then the bushes and trees, and you kind of build in houses. And then eventually you will just run out of spaces to put things. And then it's game over and it tells you what your high score is. But I don't know anybody else that plays it, so it's not even like I'm in like a high score battle with anyone. I am just doing it because I like touching the screen and making trees appear.
What's it called?
Triple Town.
Is it free?
I think it might have been 69p.
Oh, look at you, Moneybag.
But it might be free because there is a store in-game.
69p.
So it might be free.
I see.
I don't know. It's worth having a look. It's interesting, and I've had hours out of it, but I don't exactly know why now I think about it. But it must be entertaining enough if it's kept me going for hours. And the reason why I got it is because it was quite high up. It appeared quite high up in the App Store charts, and I'd seen other people talking about it. So I think it maybe is one of those things that people are playing at the minute, which always makes a big difference if it's on iOS.
I can confirm it is a free app.
Oh.
I'm downloading it now.
There we go. So it must all just be in-app purchases that they make money on. So there you go. See, this is the thing. I also bought another thing this week on the App Store, which is called Paper, which is really, really good. But I spent a whole day, all day today, I spent thinking, should I buy it or should I not? Because it was, the app is free to start with, but if you want to buy new pens, it's like a sketching, drawing, note-taking thing.
Weirdly enough, I was researching that this very day.
Yeah, if you want to buy new things for it, they cost money. So you start off, you get the pen, but if you want a pencil, it costs £1.49.
Yeah, see, I think I'd rather have all the functionality and pay a bit, like a fair chunk up front, and then at least you know how much, what the end is.
Well, yeah, you can do that. You can get everything for £5.50.
Right.
What?
Yeah, I spent all day going, God, that's an awful, you know, like £5.50, that's an awful lot of money. Like, what if it's rubbish? And then, like, thinking about it, I would spend £5.50 on, like, a magazine.
Yeah, exactly. It's just completely relative. It's because the App Store prices are so cheap that our expectations are that they have to be that cheap. And so it's quite difficult to persuade us as a customer to actually go, yeah, all right, I'll pay a fiver.
Very, very weird. But I bought that app anyway today, Paper, and it is very, very nice.
Yeah, it does look pretty fancy. It's kind of, for those who haven't seen it, Lewis, you know Art Rage? It's sort of like that mixed into like a journal kind of software. So you can have, like, you can flick through pages in your little sketchbook or journal, whatever that you've done. And you can make notes and...
Is it Art Rage?
No, it's not.
Then I'm not interested.
It's not really an art package either. It's not like you couldn't really paint with it. It's very, very simplified.
Kev, what are you doing? You're just lying.
Oh, well, the advert has lots of people painting on it.
Yes, the advert makes it look like you can sort of do watercolours and stuff with it. But it's not really like that. Has anybody seen there's an app that's, I think it's called Sketchy or something. It's like a flash thing on the internet as well. That you draw a line and it kind of fills it in and makes it look like it's been sketched. No. It kind of does that a little bit. So, like, if you have the paintbrush selected, it doesn't just make a brush stroke. It kind of, if you scribble with it, it kind of fills in a little bit and seeps out around the edges, and it does a lot of the work for you, so there's not that much opportunity for precision with it. So it's a bit tricky that way. But for like note taking and, like I say, rough sketches and ideas and that sort of stuff, it's going to be really good.
Cool.
So there we go.
Avengers vs. X-Men is really fucking stupid. Basically.
Oh, see, I was quite excited about the event.
Like, you kind of knew from the name that it was going to be fucking stupid. It wasn't like they were being subtle about it or anything, you know? They weren't just going to be like Civil War. Sounds kind of cool, like, as an idea. You're like, Avengers vs. X-Men was like, well, I guess they're going to punch each other. That'd be alright then. And this is, so, for a start, I hate the fact...
I just made my first cherry tree. Sorry.
For a start, I hate the fact that this was issue zero. That always just winds me up. No, just don't.
Oh, no.
Oh, issue zero, the net access.
And also, it didn't quite wind me up as much as when someone did a 0.1. That just made me want to hit things.
Oh, shit. Teaser issue for next access is listed as issue 0.5.
Oh, I hate you so much. That's right, I haven't got an iPad, so I can't be enraged about it.
I'll send you screenshots.
Just to piss me off. So this issue zero, like, part of what spoils it is the fact that the entire middle third of the comic has been trailed in the back of every Marvel comic for the last month. So you read it and you're like, well, this entire middle third I've read like five times, so I'll just skip over this. There's also the fact that Scarlet Witch is back. Which is fine, except for the fact that she comes back from the dead in Avengers Children's Crusade, which was like a really fairly obscure book that published like every 3 months or something crazy. It was like a ridiculously long cycle. And I think like 100 people read it. So she's like, oh, by the way, she's back. Like, she was like dead. All right. And also, she wiped out all the mutants, and you all seem kind of cool with this. I wouldn't be cool with this if I was you. So yeah, that's fucking nuts. And the main thing is the whole point of this event is that I just want to see people punch each other a lot. And there's no punching in it.
There will be punching. They'll get there'll to the punching.
Oh, there'll be punching in future issues, but kind of like when your event is called Avengers vs. X-Men, you're kind of punching like everywhere.
All punching all of the time.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of punching. There's a bit of shouting, but it's not shouting at X-Men. It's the Avengers shouting at other Avengers, so... Yeah. If it had more punching, I'd be on board.
Sounds like half measures to me.
Yeah, more punching, please, Marvel. Just bring punch. That's literally it. If they had punching, I'd been like, oh, this is fine.
Why are the Avengers versusing the X-Men?
Because punching.
Oh, fair enough.
Any more elaborate reason than that?
Because Marvel like money. Right. The main reason is the non-cynical reason. The Phoenix Force, which is like this hugely powerful force being powered by the life force of every being in the universe, if I remember correctly, which I'm pretty sure I do, is kind of like it's so powerful that it survives by eating stars. Just, yeah, pretty fucking powerful. And it's come back to Earth. And it's inhabiting Hope, who is like the mutant messiah, because all the most, oh god, this, the plot for this goes back like 7 years. But so in House of M, Scarlet Witch, who is now back from the dead, she said, all right, no more mutants, fuck mutants. So all the mutants went away, and mutants stopped being born, and 99% of them lost their powers. So the ones who had them left kind of went for a bit, and then they went to Utopia, which is this mutant eye, and they found this is own nation off the coast of San Francisco where the X-Men now live, except the X-Men don't all live there because there was a schism, so some of them live back at the old X-Mansion with Wolverine. Weirdly, the non-violent ones live with Wolverine because stuff got really fucked up. And then the Phoenix Force comes back to Earth to inhabit Hope Summers, who is the first mutant child born since Scarlet Witch said no more mutants, and is presumed to be the mutant messiah, and has been to the future and stuff, and is, I think, the child of Jean Grey and Scott Summers, I think. And then Phoenix Force.
Oh, just because punching and Marvel likes money.
Yeah, and then the Phoenix Force comes and the Avengers are like, man, Phoenix Force is super destructive. We should do something about this. And X-Men are like, well, you can't just like punch her. And then they punch each other, I think.
Okay.
That's as much as I've managed to work out. And also Vision's not dead anymore.
What?
Lots of people.
Can they not just stick to anything just being permanent?
Well, Vision,
it's baffling. I've always found Marvel comics to be absolutely baffling.
Yeah, they've got... It's hard to say. They are baffling, but they also don't do the DC thing of DC decide every 2 years that it all got a bit too complicated and just start again.
I think every 2 years might be exaggerating slightly, but yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, not quite every 2 years, but okay, every, at least, I'd say probably about twice a decade. For the last couple of decades, DC have gone, what's happening again? Did we do that? Just start again. It'll be fine.
Retcon. No. When we said Batman died, that was Earth 2 Batman. So don't worry about that because he's not dead.
It's all good.
Hooray!
Yeah. So you were just like, man, this is lazy.
I've just been delivered a chocolate hobnob, and that's not a euphemism.
But yeah, at least Marvel kind of make an attempt with continuity, where continuity. Whereas DC seem to just go, start again.
Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah. It just seems very... it just kind of always seems to me that DC are just taking the easy option. They're like, so, because you just imagine the editors meeting, the DC, like, the DC top editors going, so we could, like, build more on this mythos we've built out and try and explain some of these things that don't quite fit together very well. It's got a bit complicated, but we could try and just simplify it all, or we could just start again.
Well, that is true, because, like, they tell that Batman origin story every 6 months, don't they?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Whereas at least when Marvel decided to start again, they went, all right, here's the Ultimate Universe, and we're starting again over here, and it's a completely different thing. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True that.
So, yeah. Lewis, you watched the new Mad Men stuff. Is it any good?
Yeah. I love Mad Men.
Is it as good as the last Mad Men?
Well, it hasn't changed. It's still as good as it always has been. And it still has that thing where Mad Men doesn't explain everything that's been going on or is going on, and what you think's a major event turns out to be nothing or isn't any ever revisited again. It's just Mad Men, and it is as good as it's ever been. And I love it. And it was on Sky Atlantic, because it's now gone to Sky Atlantic, and they did a double bill, and all of the adverts were 1960s adverts.
That's quite cool.
Yeah, newspapers, or one of the magazines in America did that as well. All their
it was really cool.
News in 60s.
Yeah, and they literally said, we're not showing any adverts that weren't around in the 60s, so you just get all this, like, Citroen and Tetley and Fairy Liquid adverts from the 60s, and it was brilliant. So that was really good sort of part of the experience. But yeah, Mad Men itself is as good as ever. Don is a little bit nicer now that he's married and settled down.
Not married to that crazy woman anymore.
No, it's the French one. You can tell that there's going to be, obviously, with the time period, it's now getting to the point where the major social changes are afoot, so there's a lot more issues revolving around race and employment of even the term Negroes. I don't like that, but that's obviously what they call it. And women becoming more powerful, and yeah, just the balance of power has shifted quite a lot. So Joan, who left to have a baby, is now very vulnerable and fears that she won't ever get her job back, and Peggy's really strong, and like I said, Don's now settled down, so he's a bit more personable and a bit nicer. So yeah, it's just as good, and it looks like it's gonna go on to be some great stuff.
Oh, I love Mad Men, but I don't get Sky Atlantic.
It's so good. Oh, do you not?
No, not anymore.
Oh yeah, you don't.
Is Sky Atlantic available on Virgin Media, on the on-demand service?
Exclusive. No, it's exclusive to Sky.
Oh, man.
That's there, basically.
It does have a load of amazing content on it.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen any of Game of Thrones.
Of making money off of their HBO purchase.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, it's really shit. You can get Game of Thrones through HBO if you don't mind doing some hooky internet stuff.
Oh, I see.
With, like, funny numbers and VPN servers and things.
Yeah. I'll just buy the DVD.
Just get the DVDs now. I really want the Blu-rays for Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it does look really good.
Yeah.
They'll be out soon.
They're out now.
Oh,
yeah, it just came out, I think, a couple of weeks ago they came out. But yeah, the Blu-rays look really good for it. Mm. And the new series starts and the first of it on Sunday night.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah.
Ah.
I think that's on Sky Atlantic on Sunday night as well.
Do you know what starts tomorrow as well?
What?
Oh, it's not on Sky Atlantic. Season 5 of Dexter.
Oh, I don't watch Dexter.
Really?
Yeah.
Dexter's fantastic.
Weird. Someone doesn't watch Dexter.
I think I watched Dexter once, maybe.
I think I have also seen maybe one episode of Dexter. just seemed a bit
weird.
Did
you not want to watch every other episode after that?
No, it just seemed a bit weird.
I also...
So yeah, Mad Men's good. Mad Men's good. And like I say, I love the fact that it hasn't lost the way it tells stories. It's all just, it's all very subtle, but
yeah, stories and
amazingly
that,
done.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you know if they made it, like if Sky said that, okay, fair enough, you can have for like £5 a month, you can stream Sky Atlantic to your computer or your PlayStation or whatever. All that not paying Rupert Murdoch for the privilege of watching Sky thing would go out the window.
Yeah.
I'd leave my morals at the door.
they are doing that.
Yeah, they're going to do that in the summer, aren't they?
Mm.
It's just that at the minute, it's like, in order to get access to Sky Atlantic, it would end up costing like 40 quid a month.
Mm.
And that's just too much to pay for Game of Thrones and Mad Men, unfortunately.
That's a lot of money.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
I'm still playing that little village game.
See? It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, I haven't actually stopped since I loaded it up.
And yet... What have you actually achieved?
Yeah, I haven't really achieved anything, but I don't know. Yeah, definitely has that. And that was like 3 items ago on the list. And it was 2 items ago.
In which case, you're just rude.
No, I am listening as well. Mad Men, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, Game of Thrones is on Sunday at 2 a.m.
What?
On what?
On Sky Atlantic. Sunday. Why? At 2 a.m. They must be showing it at the same time as it's showing in the US, or like an hour later or something.
Yeah, probably.
But that's ridiculous.
Not really, because everyone else is... I think pretty much everyone else has Skybox now has Sky Plus.
Yeah, but still, why wouldn't you just wait for the day? No one's going to be watching it at 2 a.m.
They'll probably play it again the next evening, I would think.
I bet they will. I bet there will be people that stay up to watch it.
I bet they'll do it then. Because they're
I'd stay up to watch it.
Because they're not allowed to show it before the US shows it. And then I'm guessing like next week, the next day, they'll probably show it like in the evening.
If it was on at 1, I could understand possibly staying up. But 2 means you don't get to bed at least till 3:15. And then you've got no time to sleep.
Mm.
Yeah, I'd probably just ditch work the next day. Fuck them. Oh,
really now, when the bear roars, all the little people move into their houses. Alright, I'm stopping. Sorry.
Peter, would you like to talk about other comics?
Back in the room.
I haven't actually read the other comics that I bought today.
Oh, so you bought... You read Saga, though?
I did read Saga.
Did you like it? I thought it was very good.
Yes, I did like it. I thought the art was a little bit weird, innit?
The art is very peculiar, but I quite like it.
Because it's kind of that sort of... Almost not realistic, but not, it's not like fantasy art, but it is like a fantasy setting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I did quite like it. Although I did turn the page at one point and see like a massive dinosaur thing shooting lasers from its eyes and thought, so that's why Chris likes this comic.
Yeah. It's just batshit crazy. Everything
in
it.
It's like a double page spread with a massive dinosaur shooting laser.
And the robot people are super weird.
Yeah, with the TVs for heads.
Yeah, they're weird. But I kind of, like, there's lots of stuff that's really good in it. Little things as well, like the, what is it? The stuff where they're kind of talking about, with the TV people, where he's just come back from the war, and just his sheer terror at being told he has to go back in.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. Like, little touches like that are wonderful.
Brian K. Vaughan is probably the best comics writer of the last 10 years.
Yeah. And it's also the way that he summarizes a galactic like conflict in a one double page spread.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. You're like, that's just ridiculous. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah, but I don't cope very well with skinny comics. And it kind of like, I get to the end of it and think, well, I want more now. This is not enough.
Yeah, same. Have you gone back since collecting, have you collecting any of the new 52? I can't remember which ones.
Yes, I am. I am collecting. I'll tell you what I'm still going with, because I did delete a load. I'm doing Action Comics, Aquaman, Detective Comics, The Flash, and Justice League.
because before last week's podcast, I went back and just reread the whole of the Justice League ones. And it's just really nice to have that kind of continuation, because I pretty much forget what's happened each time I start reading the next
one. Yeah, there's so long between issues as well with them. And I understand they have to do it that way for the way they're funded and things.
And the fact that the art is ridiculous and probably takes quite a long time to do.
Yeah. This is it. It takes that long to do it, and they have to know that they're getting paid for like the third issue. As they're selling the first issue, as they're making the second and third issues, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I understand that that's the way it has to be done, but they are a much more pleasant reading experience if you can sort of stock up on six of them.
See, no, I like that way, because you've got the end of the issue, you've got the cliffhanger, you've got the what happens next.
Yeah, but you only like it because you've got a constant stream of comics arriving at your house, so you don't have to wait till to read any comics for a month.
I don't arrive at my house. I have to go get them.
Well, sure. Arriving at your house via you as the courier.
Yeah.
Don't you forget what's happened, though?
No, I'm awesome.
Fair enough.
It tends to be... So if I keep something on schedule and buy it when it comes out, I'll remember it. But say I don't pick something up for a week and like pick it up the next month instead because I was a bit short on cash or something. Normally, by the time that's come around, I forgot what happened before.
It's like a 2-month gap.
Yeah. So when it's like that, I've generally forgotten what's happened before, which is why I don't like comics that print on 2-month cycles as well. Because by the time it comes around again, I'm like, I can't remember what the fuck happened last time.
Something else exciting happened in the world of comics this week.
What was that?
Comixology on the iPad started publishing their comics for the new iPad resolution, and they're all sharp and crisp and lovely.
Yes.
Even on the not new iPads?
I don't know, because my wife got one of the new iPads with its fancy screen. Well, we got one of the new iPads with its fancy screen, and we've got the old iPad with its not fancy screen, and I'm kind of using the new one more than
fair enough.
I should be. so I haven't actually looked at them on the old one yet. But they look lovely on the new one.
Yeah, I'm quite jealous of the new one's screen. A guy at work's got one. Well, I say a guy at work, one of the directors of a company has one.
Yeah. It's the only difference, though, is the screen. There's nothing.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I can see enough of incentive to upgrade from the 2.
No, I wouldn't. The only reason we ended up with it is because my wife really, really wanted one to call her own.
That's fair enough.
So, yeah, we were going to get one anyway, so.
Yeah.
There we go, so, yeah.
And that's what we did.
Big and crisp and sharp and just lovely. And they all seem to be coming in this new HD resolution now.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's kind of annoying, because all my apps are like, hey, you should get this update so you can see the cool new graphics on your new iPad. But I don't have the new iPad. Yeah, but you should get this update.
Yeah.
Oh, it makes me sad, because I don't. It's not actually updating anything for me. It's like an update for update's sake.
And they're making you do that download as well. And I'm sure that the download sizes have got significantly bigger.
Yeah, they have.
Mm.
The assets getting larger.
Also, as we found out at work yesterday, when you start designing things for iPad res, they are feckin' huge.
They're massive. They are really massive.
It no longer fits on where there's a sign. He was like, well, it just doesn't fit on my screen anymore. he pulled it all the way to the side of his screen, and it skipped onto the second screen, the landscape stuff. He was like, fuck.
Yeah, it's seriously high res, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit mental.
Yes. It is.
Anyway, mental. Quiz time.
Quiz!
Where's Lewis? Lewis, quiz.
I'm Heather.
Quiz. I got all excited then. Quiz.
Okay.
He told me it's good.
Yeah. Don't get excited, Chris, because people will be surprised.
You told me it's a good quiz this week.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, because you don't have to do it.
This time, you need to write 1 to 13.
Oh, what? No, I've already written 10. Oh.
Well, you need to add another 3. Oh. I got a bit carried away.
More numbers.
And I thunk that you always mock me and say I don't watch films unless it's got subtitles. So, I thought...
Are these 13 films only with subtitles?
No. It's much better than that. I thought to myself, I wonder what films are called, English films are called in other countries.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
So, I'm going to give you 13 titles, and you need to tell me what that film is in English. They're not foreign, it's in...
They're English films, but...
In English.
Their names as they were released in foreign lands.
Yeah, they were changed, then the translation of that in
English. So it's the translate... So it's like the French version translated back into English.
Yes. Okay. That makes sense?
I'm with you. Why is there 13? Okay. Just because you couldn't pick your top 10.
Yeah, I wanted to do these 13.
Fair enough.
Okay, so, number one. Off to Israel to watch It's Raining Falafel.
What?
What is that film? It's Raining Falafel. Question two. Off to Italy to see If You Leave Me, I Delete You.
What?
If you leave me, I delete you.
Yeah. I must say that they're not... Some of them aren't direct translations of our English titles.
Yeah, just...
Some countries take them a bit too literally and then call them weird names.
You leave me, I delete you.
Question three. And in Peru, they're showing Slightly Pregnant.
I like these.
Back to Israel now. You gotta love the Israelites.
the Israelites.
On the way to the wedding, we stopped in Vegas.
Really? That's the title?
Yep.
Nice.
Over to Francais to watch As Much As the Wind Carries.
No.
And then let's go to Argentina to watch Vaseline.
Vaseline? Crikey. Yep.
And then all the way to Japan, gotta love the Japanese, to watch Wild Speed Mega Max. And you have to say it like that because Mega Max is in capitals. And then pop to Germany to watch Urban Neurotic. And then let's go to Czech Republic to watch Warm Shot.
What number are we on?
Nine.
Okay. Warm Shots.
Warm Shots.
That sounds filthy.
And then to China to watch His Great Device Makes Him Famous.
Nice. His Great Device Makes Him Famous.
This is crazy.
And then back to Japan for Captain Supermarket.
What?
Captain Supermarket.
And then back to China. You gotta love the Chinese.
How much time
for Six Naked Pigs?
Six Naked Pigs.
And then your final stops in Turkey. to watch Queer Cowboys.
Is that's it?
That's it.
That's
they
it.
They don't fuck about in Turkey, do they?
No, they don't.
Oh my god.
So I'll quickly go through them again. Number one is It's Raining Falafel. Number two, If You Leave Me, I Delete You. Number three, Slightly Pregnant. Number four, On the Way to the Wedding, We Stopped in Vegas. Number five, As Much As the Wind Carries. Six, Vaseline. Seven, Wild Speed Mega Max. Question eight, Urban Neurotic. Nine, Warm Shots. 10, His Great Device Makes Him Famous. 11, Captain Supermarket. 12, Six Naked Pigs. And 13, Queer Cowboys.
Well, there you go.
How many do you think you've got?
I've got nine answers. Obviously, they're all guesses.
I've got four answers and maybe one of them's right.
I've written down 8 and probably get one of them right.
Okay. Number 1, it's raining falafel.
Was it cloudy with a chance of meatballs?
It is That's cloudy with a chance of meatballs.
Oh my god. No idea, I didn't get that at all.
Oh, let me just get my pad out so I can tally these things. You're getting them right and everything.
I think that's probably it for my winning streak.
PKVKR. Right, so 1 to Kev and Chris. Question 2. If you leave me, I delete you.
No fucking idea.
I wrote Kill Bill.
I wrote no. I Robot.
No. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Of course. Yeah.
Very literal, yeah.
Number 3, slightly pregnant.
It's a random guess, is it Juno?
That's what I guessed.
No.
I put knocked up.
It is knocked up.
Oh, yeah. To be fair, she's more than slightly pregnant than
Juno. Yeah, she just is pregnant.
That's the Peruvians for you. Number 4, on the way to the wedding, we stopped in Vegas.
Is it The Hangover?
The Hangover.
Yeah, all right, The Hangover.
It is The Hangover.
Oh, okay.
3, 2, 1. Number 5, As Much As The Wind Carries.
No fucking idea.
I would put American Beauty.
I put no. Gone With The Wind.
It is Gone
With The Wind. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, it's good, yeah.
Number whatever?
6.
Vaseline.
I didn't get anything.
No.
No.
I was scared to guess, to be honest.
Well, I had plenty of ideas. I don't think it was any of them.
It was, of course, Greece.
Of course.
Because apparently Greece in Latin countries means lard.
Mm. That sort of works, yeah.
Well, I guess they just have the one word for both things, maybe. Mm.
Hmm. Next one, Wild Speed Mega Max.
Is it Fast and the Furious?
Yeah, that's what I put.
I didn't get anything.
It is the Fast and the Furious.
Hooray. Yeah.
More specifically, it was Fast 5.
Do we have to have got that one?
No, I'll give you Fast and Furious.
Thanks.
Urban Neurotic.
No.
I wrote down American Psycho.
I wrote down High Fidelity.
Nope. It's Annie Hall.
Oh, God.
Never heard of it.
Although, you could use that to describe any Woody Allen film, I reckon.
Yeah.
Next one, Warm Shots.
I haven't got anything.
I wrote
Again, same with Vaseline. I just didn't have a...
What did you put?
I wrote Hot Fuzz.
Nope.
What is it?
It's Hot Shots.
Fair enough. Not that far off from the original.
His great device makes him famous.
Is it Iron Man?
I put Iron Man.
Nope.
No, didn't get anything.
Boogie Nights.
What?
I've not seen that.
Batman with an incredibly large penis.
All right.
I wouldn't really call a penis a device.
Well that's because you're not Chinese, yeah.
Captain Supermarket.
I didn't get anything.
No.
Army of Darkness. Of
what?
<course. laughs> I don't know.
How? Where is
there
the link?
Is a bit in the supermarket at the very end. But obviously, the Japanese just thought Captain Supermarket was a.
Oh, sorry. Kate's got one born every minute on. I just turned around at the wrong moment.
Lovely.
Mm.
6 Naked Pigs.
No. Is it one born every minute? I don't know.
No one?
No.
That's Full Monty.
Oh, that's unkind to the men involved.
That's harsh.
And then, of course, Queer Cowboys.
Brokeback Mountain.
Which annoys me slightly, because it's not even literal, because they were shepherds.
Yep, they weren't cowboys.
Kev wins with
Yay!
6, and Peter and Chris draw on 3.
Not cool.
No, I think that's probably the best I've ever done on a quiz. Although, to be fair, there were 3 extra questions to help me out.
That quiz was also properly mental.
It was.
I'm pleased.
And I also have a bonus question.
Yes.
That's completely unrelated. It was just an interesting fact that I found out the other day. I can't remember where I heard it. And I thought it'd make a good question. And it was, who is the only person to have won an Oscar playing somebody who has won an Oscar.
Ooh, recursive. I don't know. Dame Helen Mirren.
Really? The Queen's got an Oscar?
Yeah, yeah.
Who played, was that film Ed Wood?
No, it's not from that film.
Hmm.
I'll tell you, it's from the film Aviator.
Wasn't that about Howard Hughes?
Yep.
Was it the guy who played Howard Hughes?
It was Leonardo DiCaprio, wasn't it?
I have no idea. I give up.
No. It was Kate Blanchett playing Katharine Hepburn.
Hmm. There you go.
I thought that was a very interesting fact.
It is a quite interesting fact.
It's a very interesting fact.
Mm. It's an unremarkable fact.
You're unremarkable.
I'm so not even sure it's a fact, to be honest.
It's an unremarkable possible fact. It's really been downgraded.
Right, whatever.
No, it's really good. Thanks so much.
No, fuck you.
All right.
You do a quiz next week.
All right, I'm good at quizzes.
Go on then, do it.
Well, maybe I will.
Maybe you should.
Well, we'll see.
We will see. Let me know if you're not, though, because I need to...
Yeah, no, I will let you know in good time. Cool. Maybe 48 hours notice or something. So, we've reached that part of the podcast we like to call question time, I suppose.
Question time.
I've got a spare question backup quiz if anybody ever forgets.
Ooh.
That's good to know.
I'll forget next week.
Don't worry, I got it covered.
Oh.
I wrote a quiz a while back. It was very geeky, but I can't remember where it is now.
So, yeah, is Chris gone again?
No, I'm here.
He's just ignoring us, I think.
I'm reading what would the characters from Mad Men, what technology would they use if they were in the modern world?
Yeah, because we're actually just doing a podcast, so...
You can talk, Mr. Triple.
Hey, that's peaceful. In fact, that's topical. We've talked about it this very podcast. Oh, we talked about Mad Men as well, haven't we? So, oh well. Question time. First off, we head to the Twitterverse.
I do this
Chris
bit.
Has the questions. Yeah, I'm just filling in while you're reading.
I could do both.
That would mean reading two things simultaneously.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
Yeah,
any human can.
All right, I'm going to leave that one for last because Colin Barr wants WrestleMania predictions. But I'll leave that and round it off.
Yeah, sent him on.
So I'll get the list up in a minute and we can pick. The Lone Steven says, can I fire everyone for no reason?
The man's obsessed.
They're not employed.
Why is he to fire
us? Even if we were employed, as if he'd be the boss.
Also, I thought he likes TSA. Why is he obsessed with firing us?
Yeah, I think...
Maybe because he's a lunatic.
He's a lovely lunatic who is also our friend.
So just in case his lunacy turns nasty one day.
Yes, it is.
Tough Cub says, I think he means what? Was it the one thing you want in a next generation console?
At least you know that's a genuine Tough Cub question, though, because it wouldn't be without a spelling mistake.
He talked with
his
nose.
True.
Yeah.
Did everybody see the cock on TSA?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was mental. Yes.
How distracting is that?
That's really distracting.
That's Al changed it, or did he just decide that he's leaving it?
It's still there.
Yeah, he said that he was just going to leave it. He said leave the professionalism to sites that get paid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
We'll just have a cock. It's fine.
We also have some new icons that Tough Cub made, and the one for Journey is the band Journey.
Nice.
Which he put in to amuse himself and then forgot to take out.
No, that's got to stay. That's amazing.
Yeah, no, this is... Well, Al says he's keeping it, so...
Yeah, no, fuck it. That's got to stay. That's amazing.
Yeah, so there you go. If... anybody's listening that hasn't noticed the cock on TSA, it's in the Assassin's Creed 3 preview image.
Might have gone by Monday.
Yeah, I might have done.
Where is the image? It's gone. It's not there for me.
The top right-hand side of the screen. Have you got ad blocker turned on?
Oh, yeah.
It might Maybe. Turn off with ad blocker.
It's just Let's obviously just got a black background.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's middle right, sort of.
Yeah, it might be listed in the adverts.
Yeah, make sure you turn ad block off. I quite like what Al's doing with that stuff in the top and the right. It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely while we haven't got anybody advertising.
Yeah,
it's nice. I mean, I imagine it's nice. I've just got a black background, but I imagine it's really nice.
Just turn your ad block off on TSA.
I'm looking at how filter preferences.
It's like a one.
You missed slightly earlier questions as well.
Oh, did I? I apologise. Let me see.
There's Badachi from 3 days ago.
Do you guys think it's a... Oh, do you guys like Nier or think it's a bit pointless?
I just think the UI is absolutely unintuitive on Nier.
What is Nier?
Nier is a PlayStation Vita feature which uses GPS or location-based data to tell you who else is playing a Vita nearby, and you can swap things with them and do stuff. I don't really understand it because it's just so
hard to
use. I
haven't met anybody that really understands it yet properly. I don't know. It seems like it could probably be a good thing, but I don't know what it's trying to be.
Yeah. I mean, Uncharted has... you can swap your collectibles on them to try and build your collection to help complete the game. So rather than every collectible you get being from a dropped item from somebody you kill, you can swap it on the black market, which uses Nier to further your collection. But I haven't managed to get it to work at all. I just don't understand.
I borrowed a Vita the other day with Uncharted. I hated it.
Wow.
Ooh, that's a bit
strong. Mostly.
Yeah, no, it's not even an overestimation or an overzealous comment. I hated it. Played the first chapter, not just Uncharted, but the whole thing, the Vita itself. Put it back in its box and then didn't touch it for 3 days.
No.
Mm. What didn't you like about it?
Everything. Its size, its weight, its location of buttons, the two knobby things, the fact that you've got to touch the screen as well as press X and do this and do that. Just hated everything about it. Interface. Oh, it was horrible.
Ooh. There you go.
So, yeah.
Takes all sorts.
Mm. Yeah.
There is also another question from Bodachi a few days after that, before that.
If you could have a fellow host in a game, who would it be and what game?
Huh?
So if we could pick one of the other people off the podcast?
I think just like to play with.
Okay.
In game or?
Okay. Like multiplayer.
Are we going to Turkey for this phone call?
Or co-op or something like that. I think.
I kind of thought that he meant like we would put Lewis in Grand Theft Auto.
Or that then, yeah. Just take it that way.
That'd be awesome.
You take it that
Who
way.
Who takes it what way now?
Oh, dear.
Yes, disable on thesicktaxis.com. Sorry, I found it.
I think that Lewis would be good in a game like Grand Theft Auto. Only without projectile weapon, so basically he does all the murdering with his hands.
Yeah, that might be nice.
I'm up for that.
He'd do the motion capturing himself.
There's the penis. I really feel like I'm part of the club now.
Oh, dear.
That would definitely go in the coming up section.
Oh.
I think we should have one of those.
Kev would be good in SingStar.
Thank you, I think.
I'll take Peter in to draw something.
Yeah, because I look like one of the stick figures that I draw and draw something. There's bits hanging off me everywhere.
And take Chris into Turok so that he can tell me all the species of dinosaur that we're coming up against.
It'd be like a virtual tour guide. Don't shoot it!
It's a herbivore!
Watch out for its poisonous spines, though.
Yeah, let me use my self-defense.
Oh, I should watch Jurassic Park.
Oh, God.
Like, I need to go.
Minecraft.
I need to go now and just watch Jurassic Park.
I need to get Jurassic Park.
I actually felt a bit like that, but with Minecraft earlier on while we were recording the podcast. Maybe I could just be playing whilst podcasting.
All right. Okay. To go back to the WrestleMania question.
WrestleMania.
Here we go.
Back
so,
into
there are 8 matches this year at WrestleMania. And we're going to work from the bottom of the card up. So
really?
We'll build the main event as they will
at
the show. I'll skip the Divas because I don't even know. So the
Rock's going to win.
The first.
No, he fucking won't. He's a loser.
Quiet.
Sure, but
the first
this is
match
WWE.
On the card is a 12-man tag team match.
Okay, am I going to get a drink while this is going
between, on? Alright, it's fine. Peter will be able to throw in with stuff. Between the Raw brand people and the SmackDown brand people. So, on Team Teddy, which is the SmackDown brand people, it's Santana Marella, R-Truth, Kofi Kingston.
I'm sorry, who was that?
R-Truth.
Santino Marella.
That was how Chris
Santina
said it.
Santina Marella. is that even wrong?
No.
Zack Ryder, The Great Khali, and Booker T, who I didn't know was wrestling again. I thought he was a commentator.
He's a cunt, either way.
With Hornswoggle. Versus Team Johnny. It is David Otunga, Mark Henry, Dolph Ziggler, Jack Swagger, The Miz, and Drew McIntyre. So, who do we think?
I want Team Teddy because I don't like anyone that's on Team Johnny and I don't like John Laurinaitis.
Yeah, I think Team Teddy. Peter?
I want the first one with your man.
Team Teddy.
Is that who they were? That has Hornswaggle in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a dwarf, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Tino is it Tino Morello or?
Santino Marella. Yeah.
And him too, because he was on Cake Boss.
All right.
Once, and he seemed like he was kind of nice.
Fair enough.
And that's about it.
So really, it's a sweep for Team Teddy there.
Yeah.
All right, next match.
Sounds like it. I want to know, is there somewhere I can see pictures of all these people?
If you go onto the internet, there are just pictures of them on Wikipedia.
I want the card.
Oh, just you want to look Wiki WrestleMania 28, and it has the card on the Wikipedia page.
WrestleMania 28.
And The Rock wins.
Next match, Randy Orton versus Kane.
Randy Orton.
Peter?
Yeah.
Randy Orton?
Randy Orton's the deserter, isn't he?
Yes.
Yes.
In which case, hold on, is Kane feuding with The Undertaker at the minute?
No, not really.
No.
Okay, then Kane.
Okay. I like how involved your decision-making process is. Cody Rhodes versus The Big Show, with Cody Rhodes Cody defending Rhodes. The WWE Intercontinental Championship.
Well, that's The Big Show!
I got to go for The Big Show.
Do they still have that?
Yeah.
I want Cody Rhodes because I can't.
No, I've got to go for Big Show, man.
I want Cody Rhodes because when I was young and used to watch wrestling, I used to watch his dad wrestling.
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
What does a Big Show look like nowadays? Oh my god, he doesn't have any hair.
Yeah, he's bald.
He's bald.
Next up, singles match for the WWE Heavyweight Championship. Daniel Bryan, the defending champion, versus Sheamus. Yeah, Daniel Bryan, man.
Sheamus is the really annoying one.
You say man so much more when you're talking about wrestling.
Yeah.
He's the Irish, pure white ginger person.
Oh, that explains the entire fucking population.
Yeah.
Definitely not him because he spelled his name funny.
To Daniel Bryan, then.
H in
they put an H in it because Americans don't understand Sheamus if it hasn't got an H.
Would they just call him Seamus?
Yeah.
Seamus.
They would have thought he was a fucking whale at SeaWorld. Yeah, Daniel Bryan.
I also have to pick Daniel Bryan for having the laziest wrestling name ever, because his real name is Brian Danielson.
I'm just clicking on Wikipedia. He doesn't look much like a wrestler. He looks more like he might be like a hairdresser or something.
Daniel Bryan?
Yeah.
Yeah, he...
He also has Ride of the Valkyries as his entrance music.
Okay.
Next up, fan favourite, CM Punk, defending the WWE Championship against Chris Jericho. Who are we going to pick here?
I want Punk.
Stone Cold.
Stone Jericho.
Chris Jericho, he has a move called the Lion Tamer, I believe.
Does he still do the Walls of Jericho?
Yes, he did the Walls of Jericho.
He still does Walls of Jericho. He does the Lion Salt.
Oh, see, maybe he did the Lion Tamer when he was in WCW.
I think so, yeah.
I want Punk.
I bet you do.
But I don't think he will on that one.
Yeah, I'll go with CM Punk as well, just because I hear that's a popular choice.
Okay.
Oh, Undershow versus Big Taker. Undershow versus Big Taker? That's not what I meant. Big Show versus Undertaker. Now that was a match.
All right. Next up, second
back
on the card.
I actually prefer Undershow versus Big Taker.
Probably joint main event on the card. Triple H versus The Undertaker.
Chris, I resent you for making us talk all the way through this.
Hell in a Cell match with special guest referee Shawn Michaels.
Aww. Blatantly going to be Undertaker, and then he's going to.
It's going to be Undertaker.
Yeah. Does Chris Jericho still have long hair?
No, it's short in a minute, I think.
Weird.
But yeah.
I'm just looking at wrestling for the first time since about 2001.
It's going to be the Undertaker. You can't beat him at WrestleMania. It would just be wrong.
No. And if they did that,
I think there'd be a fucking riot if he lost.
He's going to retire now.
Yeah.
But it'll be the Undertaker will win, but he'll be carried out on like a hot on the. In an ambulance and stuff, won't it? It'll be like the Undertaker's won the match, but he's almost dead.
Yeah,
that's what happened last year, and I didn't like that.
Does he go 20-0 if he wins this year?
Yeah, that'll be 20, and then I reckon
he's got to retire at 20. He should have retired at 15, to be honest. But and then finally, the main event itself: The Rock versus John Cena in a singles match. Nothing on the line but pride.
It's a thingies match, isn't it?
It just says singles match on Wikipedia.
No holds barred, no...
I don't know. I'll have to get the actual website up. Oh, I don't know now.
Oh, man, 2001's Royal Rumble is definitely the best one that's ever happened.
That was the one where Rock won.
No. That was the one where Big Show came back.
That was 2000.
Big Show came back after a long hiatus. Steve Austin... No, and it was where no one knew whether or not Kane and Undertaker were friends or enemies. And obviously it got to the point where Kane came in after Undertaker, or the other way around even, and Undertaker and Kane were just squaring up to each other, and everyone was like, oh my god, what's going to happen? And then they hugged, and then it was like, oh, they're together, oh my god. And then the next person in was Scotty Too Hottie, and he was just like looking so apprehensive as he approached the ring.
Who is Jerry the King Lawler's son?
Oh, really?
Is he really?
Yeah. I did not know that.
He is.
The WrestleMania website just says it's a singles match from the look of it. So.
Man, I wonder if I can stream 2001's Royal Rumble from anywhere.
I want John Cena to win because I am now firmly of the opinion that The Rock is a cunt.
Oh, The Rock's all right.
No.
He's the only WWF wrestler that I ever had a VHS about.
I feel it has to be John Cena.
It just has to be.
It'd be wrong if it wasn't. It'd be weird.
But John Cena's shit.
It better not end like... No,
why
not.
Is John Cena shit?
He just is.
Oh, he's such a douchebag.
Yeah, he's just too soft and clean cut and... He's just
too much of a role model.
Yeah.
Makes me sick.
Yeah. I like my wrestlers to either appear like they've snorted far too much coke before they run to the ring and shake the ropes for half an hour. Or pretend to be dead.
So you're looking for the ultimate warrior.
Or the Undertaker.
Ah, sweet. Sorry, I've just...
You just linked to Royal Rumble from 2001, haven't you?
Yeah, maybe.
Right. Moving on.
I might be out of action for a bit.
The street fight on 2000's Royal Rumble between Triple H and Cactus Jack, that was one of the best fights I remember. It's Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, but I think the
wrestling used to be so good.
I think their match happened at
I grew up.
The wrestling's still awesome. I think their match...
Says the man playing Triple Town.
I haven't been playing that for ages.
I think their match at No Way Out in 2001 was better.
Yes, that is true.
Flaming Barbed Wire. That was...
Oh, the censorship group.
Yeah, remember them?
Yeah, man. All right.
Yeah, man.
Time to do forum Bulby questions. Cannon.
Val Venus, was he in...
Oh,
yeah, he was... Like, his gimmick was he was a porn star.
Except then he went into the censorship thing, didn't he?
Yeah,
as
so,
did...
Yeah. The Godfather, and he became Godfather, the Goodfather.
Became the Stephen
Richards, yeah.
Forgot about them. That was a weird angle to take, wasn't it?
Bow, bow, ba-da-ba, ba-da.
Raise him. Now we're actually just watching a Royal Rumble, aren't we?
Yeah,
I was actually just watching that Royal Rumble.
I best just pause that.
Oh, I'm definitely watching that tonight. But probably not whilst we podcast, because that would be highly unprofessional.
So yeah, I would like The Rock to win that last match.
No, John Cena.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, it's a tie in the last match because Kev finally decided to vote.
I told you from the start of this feature, which apparently it is now.
this is one of our new features.
Yeah, that The Rock would win. This is my view.
If The Rock wins, I'm going to stop watching wrestling.
Oh man, I really hope he wins now.
Well, you're in piece of work, aren't you?
Oh, a bit cheeky.
right.
So was that the final...
Yeah, time for forum questions.
Okay, forum questions.
You don't have the forum questions open, do you?
Yes, I do. Look, Symposium, who says, "This hand of mine glows with an awesome power. Its burning grip tells me to defeat you. Take this, my love. Take my anger and all my sorrow." Says, "Once upon a time, there wasn't a sign of a new thread, so a mysterious goblin just went ahead to make one. It's quite late for Monday, to be honest," he said, as it was a bit of an eruptive or unfamiliar feeling in a Monday day. "So four travellers, known as brave..." Is my phone ringing? That's really interrupting me. Hi, Si. Yeah, I'm just recording a podcast. Yeah, look, you're on air.
So, that's really, really good news.
Yeah. I just hung up. He's gone now.
Do you not know how to use your phone?
No, I panicked. Okay, could you just phone Matt Hardy's coming back and say I'm all right?
Did you answer your phone, go, "You're on air," and then immediately hang up?
Yeah, sort of. It was an accident. I'd meant to just turn on the speakerphone back off again, but I pressed keypad, and then in an attempt to turn the keypad back onto the menu where you can put the speakerphone off, I just hung up. Anyway, as I was saying, so, four travellers known only as Brave Peter, Sir Chris the Coward, Dame Lewis the Third, and finally, the court jester known as Kev. They are tasked into answering really evil, devilish questions. That way, their fates will be decided. I can't even begin to tell you how many spelling and grammar mistakes there are in this, by the way. They say that if you get one wrong, you're hurtled into the bridge of bridges of bridges of death. Hellish Reed, smiley face, winky face. Yeah, as usual with Stephen's questions, there is a warning. These questions are only compatible with the podcast, so you can't answer here. Tough luck. First question.
I wouldn't say compatible so much. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. First question. What is the capital of Mongol? Cough. I mean, I don't get it.
I don't know. Used.
Is Mongol a country? Mongolia, you mean?
I don't know what's he want from us.
This is more confusing than Stephen.
What's the next question?
Question number 2. What can we expect from April to June for games?
There will be some.
Yes, I imagine you can expect some releases, some news about releases.
Ghost Recon is out.
Ulan-Kator, apparently.
Ghost Recon Future Soldier is out.
Ulan-Bator.
And if you're buying games that aren't Ghost Recon Future Soldier, you're probably doing it wrong.
Hmm. April to June. It's a bit of a dry spell. I don't know. There's a good gaming website that I'd recommend to read for that sort of news, though.
For upcoming.
Yeah, IGN's pretty spot on. Kidding, of course. I meant GameStop.
That's not even a website. That's a shop. Retailer.
Just go to the shop and ask them. Go to America, to a GameStop store, and whatever. Anyway, question number three. Also, just to add, should there be a new comic book app? I've largely missed out on the PSP version, which I thought was a good idea. I presume he means for the PlayStation Vita? Oh, because yeah. I missed out question three. That's question 3A slash. Question three was, it's been like 4 weeks or something since Vita was released. Are you pleased with the content that's available? Then also just where should there be a new comic book app?
Yeah, I think there was an awful lot around launch. It has slowed down a little bit, and for those of us that have been playing with it since before launch, it kind of might be going through like a dry spell for releases. But I think for most people, it was enough around launch that they'll be able to go back and pick up a couple of games that maybe they missed. I know there's still a few things that I didn't get to play around launch that I would like to have a look at.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I only finished Golden Abyss 4 days ago, so that's been keeping me busy up till now, which is cool.
It's always difficult to know because we are lucky enough to get things a little bit earlier, so we have played an awful lot of stuff. So it's always difficult to know sort of if people that just went and bought it when it was released, if they suffer from that same problem.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's MotorStorm as well, which I've still got plenty to do on. I haven't played that for a fair while, but... And then I still haven't finished Escape Plan either, so I'm quite happy with the content that I've got going on, personally. Can't speak for anyone else.
Yeah, and I think that I probably still have just as much spread across different things. As like you say, I've still got Escape Plan that I haven't finished, and there is an awful lot more that I could be doing with MotorStorm if I had the time. So, yeah, there's still... quite a lot out there.
I don't know what the next kind of big release is going to be for... I guess Little Big Planet. Is that coming out for...
Gravity Days is coming out next month, I think.
Yeah.
And then Little Big Planet will be along shortly after that, I think.
Mm.
So yeah, and then there's little like RPGs and stuff coming as well.
And in other news, Lewis hates it.
There is a Silent Hill game.
Hmm. I've never played a Silent Hill game.
You should. They're very good.
Yeah, I probably should. I quite like scary games.
Yeah, oh god, you definitely should. Although, unfortunately, you probably should have played Silent Hill
2. Yeah, I was going to say, like, maybe the graphics difference from the generation that they were and now might be too much to bear. Anyway, finally, question number four. Any real gems to look for in the App Store trapped inside of all the crap that's made?
Oh, it's very difficult, isn't it?
It is. I said we were going to get to this question at the beginning. You may remember.
I do. Mm. It's like a callback.
It is.
Yeah, there would be a few things that I play. There's a thing that Lewis actually told me about called Collision Effect that I play quite a lot that is very good.
What's that then?
It's kind of like bouncing stones off each other, but it's like a puzzle game.
Yes, sorry, I've literally been watching Royal.
who are you up to?
Kane just came in to beat up Rick Kelly.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that was good.
It is honestly, it's probably my favourite wrestling moment.
Sorry.
I can't believe you've actually still been watching it, though.
No, yeah, I have. It's because the Hardys are in it. I've missed the Hardys.
Yeah, they were good.
So, yes, Collision Effect.
Yeah, good. It's kind of like a puzzle game where you tap they're like gems or stones or something, but it's kind of in space, and you tap them and you have to try and get them all to, when you tap it, it sort of attracts all the ones of the same colour towards it.
Mm.
And you have to get them all cleared off the screen as best you can.
Tiny Tower, if you missed that, give that a go.
Oh, Tiny Tower was a nightmare.
Yeah, but it was a really addictive nightmare.
True.
Just for a bit, when everyone was playing it. And you were just like, I don't even know why I'm still doing this. I just want more floors. That's all I want out of life.
I played it for 10 minutes and then deleted it because it was like, oh, you'll have to wait 3 hours or buy loads of coins for £79.
Well, sure, it's not one that you're going to sit down and play for hours and end. But it's, if you work in an office-based environment, it's just an absolute killer because you're just, it's kind of wasting time anyway. So, yeah. So that was it for Symposium's guest article question of the week type shenanigans. it was none of those things, but yeah, you know what I mean. Adimus says, well, he's posted a picture of a hat and he said, it looks like that. Only it had a big giant, he's carrying straight on from his previous question. I don't even remember last week. He was saying, where's my hat? Has anyone seen my hat? I've lost a hat. So he's posted a picture of a wizard's hat, a blue wizard's hat, with a purple rim. And he said, it looks like that, only it has a big, giant black discs on the side. And also, the stars are yellow. And there's a moon. I did check my head, but I could only find the hat I lost 6 years ago, so no luck there. So, has anyone seen my hat? No. Still haven't seen it. Sorry, mate. I mean, we've been looking, honestly, but...
I'll keep my eyes open, like, if it turns up,
yeah,
we'll pass it on.
I haven't seen it around the towers, anyway. Oh yeah, while I have your attention, and assuming Peter is there, and assuming he finished Mass Effect 3, has he read the spoiler topic on the forum regarding the ending?
I haven't finished it yet.
I see.
That's a lot of nested assumptions in that question.
It was. Yeah. At least he you know, provided those caveats before continuing. Unfortunately, yeah. I didn't know the answer, so I went all the way to the end. Otherwise, I would have stopped where I knew.
I will, when I finished Mass Effect 3, I'm quite looking forward to reading all the spoilery stuff that's about. But I just haven't got around to it. I bought the DLC for Mass Effect 3 and I can't get it to work.
Oh.
I waited till I think it was like 10 or 12 hours in and thought, oh, I should go and buy that just because I don't want to miss it completely. And I went and bought it and I downloaded it and then I was like, right, where do we go now? And I checked on the internet and it says you have to go to this certain place to start it, and I went there and couldn't do anything.
Oh. Do you have to start a new game in order for it to work?
I think I might do.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it does. I'm like 20 hours in now.
Yeah.
I don't really want to go back. But apparently the extra character that you get with the DLC really makes a difference to some of the missions. You get an awful lot more dialogue with him and stuff, so... I don't know, but I'm hoping to play more Mass Effect as soon as possible, please.
Yeah, I'm looking. It's payday very shortly for me, so I'm looking forward to collecting that. Maybe I'll get it from game. Oh no, I can't go. Yeah. So, Lewis, how are you finding Mass Effect 2?
I think I'd need to play it a little bit more to really get an opinion on
sort of like start it and then see what you think.
Yeah, a bit like that.
Of, yeah, just sort of put it in the PlayStation and load that up there. See what happens.
Like I said, I've got Easter. After tomorrow's my last day and then I've got 2 weeks off. So,
well, I'm looking forward to you enjoying it as much as I did, or at least playing it.
Well, I mean, at the moment, I'm really enjoying it.
You really enjoyed the box art.
Yeah, the box art was brilliant, and I thought the Jiffy bag that you sent it in was superb.
I sent it with a small review as well.
I have made an agreement with Davs that we will play 1 month at a time Mass Effect Trilogy. So I have until the end of April to complete Mass Effect 2 and so on.
Cool.
What about the first one?
I mean, to complete Mass Effect, and then till the end of May to complete Mass Effect 2, and the end of June to complete Mass Effect 3. And then also to write a blog on each game at the end of each month.
Great. So, Solid Steven, who finally found the thread.
I'm sorry, I thought that was probably more interesting than it was.
Well, also, you said it with such a lack of enthusiasm that it's very difficult to get enthusiastic about it. Oh, yeah, I'm doing this thing as well, I guess. So, yeah. You know, whatever. Frustrada! Simp. And assumes direct control of this post, says Solid Steven. Can I deduct 800 biscuits from Kev due to the incident on the last questions bit on the last episode? I don't remember what happened on the last questions bit. Can anyone remind me?
No.
Sorry, Stephen. It obviously wasn't of high enough importance to us to stay in the old memory banks there. So I guess we'll just keep the biscuits.
Also, would deducting 800 biscuits affect your life?
Not really. I mean, I don't eat many biscuits. I've just had 2 hobnobs, and they were delicious. But no, I don't know.
I really wish I had a hobnob.
They're buying get one free at the moment. somewhere.
I love a good hobnob.
I bet you say that to all the boys.
Yep.
Skyrim should be all made illegal as it is very addictive. And AG Too Many Numbers has edited it because he said originally this said addicting, but that word is too terrible to bear. Which I agree with. Addicting is just not a word. You can't describe something as addicting, meaning it makes you addicted to it. I don't know.
No.
It's just wrong.
And people, and by people, generally this is an American trait.
Mm.
People say addicting when they actually mean compelling.
Yes. Yes.
Which is peculiar. There's already a word that means that.
Yeah, it's a strange quirk of language that people are just dropping.
It would be odd if it was actually chemically addictive.
It would be.
Do you know which one annoys me?
Go on.
Irregardless.
What's wrong with irregardless?
Because that's not a word. It's either regardless or irrespective.
Okay.
Irregardless is not a word.
Irrespectiveless.
That's a double negative, surely.
Do you know what I don't like, speaking
so
of words?
So it's irregardless, because I-R, and less.
So I don't like the fact that flammable and inflammable mean exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
What's that about? What is that about, eh? Reliable was an Americanism back in the day. Talented, influential, tremendous, and lengthy.
Sidewalk.
They've all been Americanisms that have been imported over to Mother England. Tremendous. Time was that would have been thought. In fact, the poet Coleridge denounced talented as a barbarous word in 1832.
There you go.
And a letter writer to the Times in 1857 described reliable as vile.
You're vile. So,
I'm sure these things... I'm sure, you know, in a couple of decades' time, we're all going to be saying addicting like there's no tomorrow.
Yep.
So, anyway, tangent, I suppose. So Skyrim should be made illegal as it's very addictive. Well, from what I've heard, do you agree? I think Lewis has just had Skyrim flashbacks, so you may want to stop him from doing Skyrim again. What was the question?
Yeah. I did do it in the first place because it fucking broke.
It's a sore subject, Stephen. I think you should know that by now.
Let it go.
No.
174 hours?
Is that how long you played?
Wow,
Jesus.
That is a really
long... And I still haven't finished it.
A quarter of your life thus far, isn't it?
I know. And it broke.
I'm really sorry. Person 678 not managed to fix your save or something? Wasn't that what he's doing?
No, he hasn't let me know. I see.
Your thoughts on Game and Shop 2 trying to capitalize on their potential demise?
We discussed this on Twitter, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. I didn't think that was a very nice thing to do, but there's no need to be nice.
No,
it's
a fairly clever business move. It'd be interesting to see how successful it was. Whether people would just go, "Well, I'm not doing that because I'm not an absolute ass." Like,
well, yeah, they pulled it down, didn't they? The next day,
yeah, they did.
And said that it was in poor taste themselves. So I think they kind of agreed that they were.
Maybe that was a step too far.
Yeah, making a grab for the business, but not really a great thing to do.
But even if they do it in a month's time, is it then fine to do it then?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a weird one. Like it's quite a, you know, it's a rough business move, but it's kind of just a bullish strategy, you know, in business terms. Like,
yeah.
Well, they're going down. Let's see what we can grab in terms of custom. Like, that's what business is about. So.
But I don't even think it's that. Part of me just thinks they're doing it. It was a legitimate move to make for the best of their business or for the growth of their business. Them doing that isn't going to change the fact that those people have lost their
It's not going to change it. It just seems a little insensitive, doesn't it, I suppose?
Yeah, but then...
People are quite, you know, upset or at least kind of emotional... in some way about the game story and the fact that games go in and they quite like Game on the High Street. And so in the blink of an eyelid, Game are suddenly the good guys. And so they're like, well, who are these guys who are just coming along and trying to, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah, but then I don't fully understand that. Yes, it is insensitive, but.
Irresensitive.
Shitloads of insensitive are of
things happen every single day.
Well, this is it, Lewis. Irregardless of what we think. it's just one of those things. It's a business thing and they're going to do it. And, you know, they're just trying to see what they can get out of it. And that's, it's hard to be too damning about it. But at the same time, you wouldn't do it to a friend, but they're not friends. They're in business. So
Direct competitors in business.
Yeah. I would do it to a friend.
Well, that's because, you know, well, I mean, that's why you don't really have any. It would be harsh if he wasn't such a bullish strategist when it comes to his friendships.
What? I don't. Are you talking about
No, Chris.
Oh.
It's fine. If Peter is forced to review Star Wars Connect, will that just consist of childhood murdered and a ton of F words?
Who's going to force me?
I will.
Vader?
Oh, shut up, Chris. You're the only person that can.
I'd be like, well, Peter...
Plan foiled.
You're like the only one who has a Kinect.
I don't think that a review for that game would appeal to our audience. Unless you see a video review of me being
I'm buying you a copy of that if you don't get it.
Have you seen the video footage of the dancing section in that game?
No.
It's just such a poor excuse for anything. Like, the moves, they call them, like, force push, and it's just this weird kind of sexy, one of those, what are they, the aliens with the two big tentacle things coming off their head, the blue ones?
Yeah, I have no idea what you're calling them.
Anyway, those guys, it's like, basically trying to do these weird faux sexy moves, but it's called, like, force push, you are the force, I don't know, it's just, like, the worst thing that I've ever seen.
Are you implying that you not have the moves like Jagger?
They do not have the moves like Jagger.
Oh, disappointing.
Stephen also says, who stole the missing hour from Saturday night? Well, that's a ridiculous question, so I'm not going to bother to answer that.
And it was Sunday
it
morning.
It was, in fact, 2 till 3, I believe, was the one that went missing.
No, 1 till 2.
1 till 2 was it. I was out.
Yeah.
I was out and about. I was at a stag do.
I was also out and about.
I was out, actually, and it went... I looked at my phone and I was like, oh, bye.
I caught, we went fishing for this stag do in the daytime and I caught a plaice and then I gutted and filleted it myself and then had, and baked it and had a nice plaice dinner. That's probably the most manly thing I've ever done.
You caught your own dinner.
I did. And I have to say, I probably never want to do it again. I don't think I was quite prepared for how gory cutting up a fish is. Like, it was bleeding. I was like, oh god, I didn't expect it to be bleeding.
Fish don't have
blood. That's what I thought.
Oh dear.
Anyway, it's an experience and I'm glad, you know, I can tick it off the list.
They smell too, don't they?
Well, they're not too bad when they're freshly caught. Like, after a couple of days in the fridge, I don't think you'd want to be handling them much. But they're okay. But they have a smell, but it's not like that fishy smell that you kind of find in fishmongers when you first catch them. Because that's kind of the smell of decomposing fish more than...
I used to handle fish.
Okay.
Is that before you made a major life decision?
I was a fishmonger in Morrison's and also a butcher. We were quite short staffed, so they were sort of combined.
Fishmonger/butcher/ video game stand guy.
No, I never worked at the video game stand. I dreamed of working on the video game stand. Those guys did fuck all.
They certainly weren't handling fish.
I was just,
not like you handle fish.
I kind of went vegetarian for a bit. I got sick of meat.
Yeah.
People think meat doesn't have a smell. It definitely has a smell.
Who thinks that?
Beef doesn't really have much of a smell.
Before it's cooked, you mean?
Yeah. Just raw beef doesn't, but. Yeah, it does.
It does. You get definitely. There's definitely an odor to, and the same with this fish. There was like it didn't smell like fish, but it smelled like a smell that wasn't just air. Anyway, Adam,
I just got sick.
Where
of
does a fish keep his money?
Fish.
Where does a fish get his money?
Keep his money.
I don't know. Where does a fish keep his money?
In the river bank.
Oh dear.
Yeah, I don't think there's any more questions. There's loads of threads, but it's just about the word addicting.
What's the difference between a fish and a piano?
You can tune a piano, but you can't
You can't tune a fish.
Yeah, you can't tune a fish.
But that doesn't make sense, because a tuna fish is a thing. So it's not like a...
Where do fish sleep?
On the sea beds.
In their tiny little sea beds with sea blankets bed. And...
Stop ruining my joke.
Your joke was shit to start with.
Sea pillows. Hey, I saw two seagulls fighting over a live starfish on the beach today. That was kind of cool. Actually, on the stag do, one of the guys caught a starfish. I didn't even know you could catch starfish with a line.
Oh.
Weird.
I don't work neither.
Did he gut it and eat it?
No, we just poked it for a bit and then threw it back.
Yeah.
Did you know that a starfish spits out its stomach to eat stuff?
Lovely.
That's disgusting. We are 2 hours and 5 minutes in, and that's pretty much it for the questions.
Did you know that the Kobo, which is the like ebook reader you can get from Smiths, has anyone seen these?
I've heard the term. I haven't actually seen what one looks like.
They just look like a normal ebook reader. My mum got one for her birthday. You know, like the ebook readers come like preloaded with like out of stuff that's out of copyright. Yeah, yeah. It's free. Yeah. The Kobo comes with a copy of the Communist Manifesto on it. Interestingly,
that's kind of a weird agenda to sort of sell with your e-readers.
It's just like.
Have an e-reader and some communist propaganda.
We were flicking through it and we're like, oh, normal books like Adventures of Sherlock Holmes and all that sort of stuff. Copy of Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto.
Although Marx Engels would be quite happy that it was given away for free.
Oh, certainly.
That's true. It does certainly tick the right boxes.
It's just a bit of an odd one to have bundled, really.
It is. Peculiar. I've got questions.
What are
I've
they?
Got questions that showed up in my Twitter feed that haven't shown up anywhere else because people have protected Twitter accounts.
What? I don't understand protected Twitter.
No, me neither. Andrew
HD. I do. My employers googled me after I started working.
Well, that's, yeah, fair enough. Andrew HD says, do you want Bakewell tarts again at Eurogamer? Yes. He gave me Bakewell tarts at...
You ate all of those Bakewell tarts yourself as well.
I did. Because everybody else went home. I didn't know that. I forgot they were there. And then everybody else went home. And I went, oh, Bakewell tarts. Well, there's nothing else here for me to eat.
Yeah, because the oven didn't work. Fucking oven.
No. Drank tea and cider.
We had loads of pizza in the fridge that we couldn't cook.
I know. It ended up getting thrown away as well.
Mm.
Teflon asks if Kevatron 400, that's our own Kev.
Hello.
Managed to code the soundboard app before the podcast started. Yes, he did, but he didn't manage to plug it in properly.
This is what happened. I've coded a soundboard app. Look, I can give you a little sample now. I think you'll like it. You might be familiar with the sounds. Such classics as... Oh, my phone's on silent. Soundboard's not much good when it's on silent. Yeah, might recognise that one. Or, of course, there's always...
Question time!
See, just do those. I mean, it's difficult to prove that I'm not editing those in post.
I can attest that I heard those.
Yes. There you go. That's how you do it.
And the final question I've got is from Person678, and he says, hypothetically, you are tasked with building the successor to Game and GameStop. How would you do things?
Probably just do it online only.
Yeah, I was going to say, make it purely online.
That's not really a successor, though, is it?
Shut up, you.
Don't say that.
By successor...
Well, the thing is, overheads involved in having everything delivered and to your store and then having to do stuff, like pay staff's wages and that.
I would run it as not just a shop that sells things to people who play video games, but a hub where people who play video games can hang out.
What Peter Willington was saying about it being like a Games Workshop style scenario was a really good idea.
Oh, I didn't see.
That was on a podcast that you weren't there. Maybe if you listen to them once in a while.
I should do, really. I back them up and then I'll listen to them.
That Willington fella makes some very valid points.
He does.
And he's got a beautiful audio voice.
He does. He definitely has a voice for radio.
And he's like,
got a face for radio.
The chirpiest man. He's a very happy-go-lucky
unless he's talking about Metal Gear Solid 3 on the... Yeah. Whatever it was. PSP or something. DS, was it? I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what I would do, is have like events in the evenings and things that people can come to.
Make it a welcoming place for gamers all over.
Yeah, and you can kind of recoup some of your costs that way and not have to worry about making more than £3 per game.
I would put bouncers on the door because it seems to work for clubs in like drawing people in. So
yeah, and fit women. Get fit women into the shop.
And serve alcohol.
And then and have a dance floor. And get some thumping tunes on.
Yeah. Yeah, and do away with all the shelves stocking games and have sort of seats around the outside instead.
No, but then when everyone's pissed, you walk around going, want a game? Done.
Just £50.
What a game what a game comes with free kebab.
Free hot dog, please. If you're in the club, you want a hot dog. Well, not on the way home, you have a kebab, sure. But
no, but like on the way out, when they're leaving, you make the offer.
I think it's the best thing ever about Oceania is that it has a hot dog stand in the club.
There is no good aspect of Oceania.
Hot dog stand?
No. I will admit that's good, but the fact that it's in Oceania just drags it down.
Hot dog stand?
The good aspect of Oceania is that it has an exit.
Yeah, I suppose that's probably true. I've been to Oceania twice now.
It's not a good place to go.
No, it's not.
It's not so. It's not somewhere I'd regularly want in my life.
Yeah, this is two hours 11 minutes now.
We probably should wrap up.
No, we're good about Oceania.
I blame that bloody wrestling.
Not rude or anything.
This has been episode 58 of the Oscar White Media Podcast. You get me Twitter. Say goodbye, everybody.
See ya.
Bye.
'Kay. That's the ending we're doing.
Yeah, fuck it. I'm giving up now.
Okay.